The wedding feast that Jesus speaks about in the parable today is obviously no ordinary wedding feast. You know, an ordinary wedding feast, if someone's late, they're not going to have the door locked for them to stay outside. But what he's talking about is his second coming at the end of time. And when he returns in glory, those who are prepared will enter into the wedding feast, the banquet of heaven. And those that are not prepared, the door will be locked. And as they stand outside, Jesus will say to them, "I do not know you." So there's two points I want to emphasize from the parable today. And the first is that we do not know when the time is going to come. You know, whether it's the end of time when the entire world is going to end, or whether it's the end of our lives, we don't know when that's going to be. And so we don't know if we're going to have time in the future to accumulate good works. You know, we don't know if months from now we'll have the opportunity to do good. We don't know if we're going to have the opportunity to make a good confession next week or next month or a year from now. We don't know that we're going to have that opportunity. We don't know that we're going to be able to receive the last rites before we die. It's a tremendous blessing if we do, and certainly if someone's in danger of death, get a priest there as quickly as possible and don't wait to the very end. Get a priest there quickly. But we don't know that we're going to have that opportunity. All that we do know is that we have today. We have time right now. And what we do with our time right now, what we do with our free will, resonates in eternity. And so the state of our soul when we leave this world is the state that our soul will be in forever. And so we'll never get the time that we have now back. You know, the souls who have left this world, they don't have an opportunity for conversion. They don't have second chances. But we have that opportunity right now. We have time right now, which is an incredible gift. And so, you know, it's important for us to recognize that there's no additional chances or no time for greater conversion after we leave this world. And so, don't put off until tomorrow what's most essential today. And that's the constant mission of the church, is to prepare us and to remind us and to help us prepare for eternity. That's one of the things that I'll never understand about the modern world is the apathy towards religion. You know, people say that they believe in God, but they live as if God doesn't exist. And for me, I just have a hard time understanding that because I've always had a natural sense that, you know, I know at the end of my life that there's going to be a reckoning and I'm going to be standing before our Lord. And so there's always been a sense of urgency and a sense of seriousness that I've had towards religion. And so I really don't understand the modern apathy towards religion. But I think as we reflect upon this parable, it's important for us to recognize that we have time now. And to use that time well, and to make sure that our priorities are right, and what is essential is what we do first. The second point I want to emphasize is what Jesus says to those who are locked out. He says, "I do not know you." And so what we can learn from this is, first, Jesus wants to know us. He wants to have a relationship with us where we know him and he knows us. And that's an invitation that we shouldn't ignore, one that we should take seriously. And so part of what's necessary for a relationship with our Lord is prayer. You know, that's where we learn who our Lord is and enter into a relationship with him. And so prayer has two parts. One is public prayer. And so what we're doing here at Mass, coming together publicly, that is essential, it's good, and it's important. You know, Sunday Mass attendance is necessary for our salvation. You know, but on the other side, private prayer is essential as well. And that's where we enter into a more personal relationship with our Lord and allow him to speak to us individually. And so both are essential. Private prayer is necessary for us to have an individual relationship with our Lord, and public prayer is essential for us to be incorporated fully into the church, the mystical body of Christ, And so we need both of those, both individual and public prayer. In our first reading, it talks about wisdom. And it personifies wisdom. And ultimately, Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. But what it says in the first reading is, whoever watches for her at dawn shall not be disappointed. He shall find wisdom at the gate. And so it highlights dawn as a key moment. And in the psalm, it says, through the night watches, I will meditate on you. And so our readings highlight two times, early in the morning and in the watches of the night, as times to seek Jesus Christ and to meditate upon him. You know, there's special graces available when we do that in our spiritual lives, when we take time early in the morning or late at night. And I think part of the reason for that is in imitation of Jesus Christ. He often spent nights in prayer, or he'd be up early in prayer. It's a time that we consecrate to our Lord, and it would involve sacrificing our sleep a little bit if we're getting up early or praying in the watches of the night. But it's also a time where we don't have all the distractions and all the concerns of the day pressing in on us. You know, during the day, we tend to be worried about 100 different things and all the responsibilities we have and all that we have to get accomplished. But to get up early or to get up late at night is a time that's very peaceful, in a time that we can consecrate to our Lord. And so there's additional graces that are available when we do that. And so that's something I encourage us to consider in our personal prayer lives. So two questions we can meditate on today. First, if today were the last day, if at midnight tonight the trumpets were to sound, announcing the end of creation, and the heavens were to open, and the angels of God descend from the glory of heaven, if the end were tonight, what would we need to do to be ready? You know, would our lamps be full, or would we be racing out trying to find oil for our lamps? So the first question is, what would we need to do to be prepared? And the second, are we seeking an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ in both public prayer and in private prayer? Do we meditate on our Lord and seek him early in the morning and in the night watches? If we've never tried that, today is a good time to start, because we don't know that we'll have tomorrow, but we know that we have today.